Now, before we go forward, there's one final aspect of buyer's remorse you need to be thoroughly aware of. Most business owners kid themselves. They know that buyer's remorse exists. They feel it themselves about nearly everything they ever buy themselves. But they tell themselves that their customers don't experience buyer's remorse. Why is this? Why do so many business owners tend to deceive themselves and disregard their own customers' buyer's remorse? Because they see their business through their own eyes, not through the eyes of their customers. You see, nearly every business owner believes that their business is the finest business of its kind, and they make the fatal error of assuming that their customers feel the same way. In actuality, customers care only about what's in it for them. If they get what they came for, they're happy. If not, they'll usually go somewhere else. So don't kid yourself. Don't expect your customers to feel the same way you do about your business. Accept the fact that buyer's remorse strikes nearly all of your customers swiftly and deeply. That way, you'll be able to take the proper steps to do something about it. What you'll get from this chapter. In the remainder of this chapter, I'm going to show you everything you'll need to know to substantially reduce your returns and refund requests. I'll give you a powerful tool that will completely neutralize the nagging, emotionally driven worries nearly every customer conjures up. In short, I'll give you just what you need to cut your refunds and returns, convert worried customers to satisfied customers, and increase your profits by keeping them coming back for more. How to cut your refunds and returns to almost nothing. At this point, you may be a little worried yourself. After all, I've just given you a pretty bleak view into what goes on in your customers' minds, and I've tried to hammer home that this happens all the time. That's the bad news. Now, here's the good news. Turning this ugly situation around is actually quite easy. All it takes is the right tool for the right job, and I'm going to give you that tool right now. This tool is so powerful, it works like wildfire. Not only will it nearly eliminate all returns and refund requests, it will also make your customers much more receptive to doing even more business with you. This tool is called post-purchase reassurance. Post-purchase reassurance means that you recognize that your customers will experience buyer's remorse. You also recognize that the cause of this problem is rooted in the emotions, and you take the necessary action to completely neutralize the disastrous effects it can have. Post-purchase reassurance is a way of reassuring your customer that the purchase they just made was a wise one, that they will in fact get what they want or need, and that their worries are unfounded. Post-purchase reassurance works because it assures your customer that the choice they made was a sound choice. In doing so, it also removes the doubts they have about how people will view or judge them. Now, that's a lot to ask of a single technique, but as I've already said, if you understand what to do, achieving your goal is a piece of cake. The way you go about successfully achieving your post-purchase reassurance goal is to craft and send your customers a very personal follow-up letter immediately after they've bought something from you. Here are the components of a successful VPFL, very personal follow-up letter. A sincere thank you to your customer. A restatement of one or more of the key benefits your customer gets from your product or service. Additional information and useful tips on how to get the most from their recent purchase. Assurance that they made a wise choice by buying your product or service. A sincere reminder that you are always available to provide additional help. Why a post-purchase reassurance letter works so well. Companies that use post-purchase reassurance letters regularly find that they significantly reduce returns and refund requests. There are many reasons why, but the main reason is that the components I just gave you work to soothe your customers' emotions. Remember, a buying decision is primarily an emotional decision. Even the most sophisticated buyer uses logic and intellect to rationalize and support their emotional decision. And As you've already seen, buyer's remorse is completely driven by the emotions. So in order to effectively deal with emotional issues, you need a powerful, emotion-oriented tool. And that's exactly what your VPFL is. Let's examine why your VPFL is so effective. You start by thanking the customer and restating the most powerful benefit they get. Benefits appeal to the emotion, to your customer's picture of a better or easier life. So restating this benefit helps your customer plug back into their positive feelings about your product. Even the act of thanking your customer delivers a subtle yet powerful emotional message. It tells them that you've taken the time to acknowledge them. Think about this for a minute. When was the last time anyone bothered to truly thank you for doing business with them? If they did, I'm sure it made a powerful, positive impression. The real heart of your VPFL is the portion that contains the useful tips and information that you give your customers on how to make the best use of what they just bought from you. Giving them this helpful information is a variation of a theme that I come back to over and over again. The best way to create a customer for life is to give generously and to give it for free. Here are all the good things giving your customer valuable information does for you. It makes the customer feel good, which makes them a satisfied customer. It underscores your reputation as a good person and someone worth doing business with. It creates what I call the slight bribe. Few people can accept a gift without feeling somewhat indebted. That's just a fact of human nature, and you can ethically use this natural trait to your advantage. It takes the wind out of the negative worries your customer has been conjuring up. In effect, it helps your customers tell themselves, "I guess I was wrong. These people really aren't so bad after all. In fact, this product is just what I need." Now that you have your customer in a positive frame of mind, you assure them in no uncertain terms that the choice they made was a wise one. You close by sincerely reminding your customer that you are always available to assist them in any way you can. This does a number of things for you. First, it nearly etches in stone that you are solid, reliable, and well worth doing business with. Second, it gives you a chance to actually be of further service to your customer. And let me tell you, there's no finer way of cementing a lifelong business relationship than to be of actual service to someone. Once you've proven yourself, you have a customer for life. And finally, it creates many more opportunities to sell more products and services to your customers. Because there's a strong chance that when your customers take advantage of your offer to be of help, you'll uncover further needs they have that your products or services can satisfy. I'm sure you'll agree that's a tremendous amount of mileage to be gained from a simple letter. By now, you're probably thinking, "Well, that's easy enough for Serling to say, but it must be terribly difficult to actually do." Well, never fear. As always, I have a superb example for you of an actual VPFL that uses all of the components we discussed and achieves all of the objectives mentioned. This letter was used to give post-purchase reassurance to owners of retail stores who purchased a marketing program for increasing their sales and profits. This letter is example 19.1 at the end of this chapter. I'm going to take a few minutes to read it to you now. Mr. Steve Smith, Smith Hardware, 123 Ratchet Lane, Los Angeles, California, 91108. Dear Mr. Smith, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to help you increase your sales and profits. You'll find this in-store program to be your quickest route to cutting your costs and substantially boosting your profits. Also, I'd like to take just a couple minutes of your time to make sure you achieve as much success as possible with this innovative program. You've already taken the first major step by recognizing that your sales volume isn't as high as it can be and by purchasing this program to do something about it. However, there are two more things you need to do. The first is to run the program in its entirety, all 6 weeks, I know it's tempting to skip the first phase and go straight to the second phase, but I urge you not to. Here's why. If you skip the first phase, you won't be able to accurately assess how effective your current sales methods are. And if you don't track the difference, if you don't actually see for yourself how much difference this method makes, you might become complacent and fall back to your old, less productive way of selling. Secondly, I want to remind you that it's extremely important to monitor your sales staff when you put this program into action. Because this method is a change from their normal way of doing things, some of your staff may resist it at first. For your own financial well-being, it's important that you recognize any resistance in its early stage and nip it in the bud. But let me remind you, there may not be any resistance at all. Most salespeople really enjoy this new method, especially if there's a bonus or sales contest to anchor its use. Again, I want to thank you for letting me help you with this program. If I can be of any further assistance, just give me a call. Sincerely, Bob Serling, President, Stratford Marketing Group, Incorporated. A review of our example. The letter opens with a thank you, followed by a restatement of the key benefits the customer will get. The key benefits are reduced costs and increased sales. The letter wastes no time getting to the heart of the matter. It's simple, direct, and sticks precisely to the points I've given you. I start by assuring the customer that they've indeed made a wise choice. I follow this by showing them a number of ways to optimize their use of the program they've purchased. I give them additional information to help guarantee their success. Please notice the tone of the letter. It's both personal and authoritative at the same time. I make certain that the customer understands that I'm on their side, and I underscore my ability to deliver the expertise they've sought out. I close by thanking them again and by letting them know I'm available to help and support them in successfully implementing this program. Now, I want you to evaluate this letter for feel. Do you see how it makes the customer feel? Notice how it restores their confidence, both in the product and the choice they made to buy the product. These, of course, are the key objectives you're after when you use a post-purchase reassurance technique. Conclusion. You now know more about how to significantly decrease returns and refunds than 99% of all businesses in operation today. You understand why people return merchandise or request refunds. You understand that the cause of the problem is rooted primarily in the emotions, and you know exactly how to overcome this financially damaging problem. All that's left to do is put this information into action. When you do, I'm sure you'll be more than satisfied with the results. Time and time again, I've seen companies reduce returns and refunds from as much as 10% of their total business down to a fraction of a percent. Chapter 20, How to Turn Complaints and Refunds into a Lucrative Profit Center. If you're in business, customer complaints and refund requests are a fact of life. Like it or not, we all get our share of dissatisfied customers. What's really important to understand about complaints and refund requests is how insidious they can actually be and how much damage they can cause if they aren't handled properly. Here's why. Studies have shown that each unhappy customer will tell between 5 and 20 other people about their negative experience with your company. Those people, in turn, will tell even more people bad things about your company. Experts have determined that just one dissatisfied customer can result in as many as 100 people having a negative image of your business. All these facts and figures may seem a bit dry, so let's take a look at a real-life example. A few years ago, a good friend of mine was looking to buy a personal computer. He shopped and shopped and finally decided on a system from ABC Computers. He bought the system, and after a while, he had a problem with the hard drive. When he went to get it repaired, he got nothing but a runaround, even though the system was still under warranty. This continued for weeks. Somehow, He finally got the situation resolved, but the level of service he received from ABC Computers was completely unacceptable. When I was ready to upgrade my own computer system, I began to ask my friends and business associates if they could recommend a reliable vendor. My friend told me that he couldn't recommend a good vendor, but he could definitely recommend who not to do business with. And he proceeded to make it abundantly clear why I'd risk my entire investment if I did business with ABC Computers. Over the years, I've heard him repeat the same advice to many, many people. In fact, he never misses an opportunity to trample on ABC Computers' reputation. Now, there's one more thing to consider. I ended up buying my upgraded system from XYZ Computers. The first day I had my new system, I damaged one of the floppy disk drives due to my own error. When I took the system back to be repaired, XYZ Computers replaced the disk drive for free on the spot. I argued that I should pay for the repair since it was my own carelessness that caused the damage, but the owner insisted that the repair was on the house. Since then, I've heartily recommended XYZ Computers to many of my friends and business associates. I know of at least 5 other people who have bought computer systems from XYZ Computers directly because of my referral. So what did it really cost ABC Computers when they mishandled my friend's complaint? First, it cost them the sales of at least 6 additional systems, mine and my 5 referrals. Secondly, there's no way to estimate how many more lost sales could directly be attributed to my friend voicing his negative opinion to dozens of other people. But I'd estimate that the additional loss was substantial. My conclusion is that this single complaint was more costly than ABC Computers could ever imagine. Okay, I think you get the picture. A single complaint or a single request for a refund can be far more damaging than the loss of a single customer. It actually has the potential to become a complete financial disaster. What you'll get from this chapter. In this chapter, you'll find out exactly what you need to do to completely neutralize the negative potential of complaints and refund requests. I'll give you a simple, inexpensive plan of action that will allow you to actually take those same complaints and refund requests and turn them into more repeat business plus more referral business. By the time you've completed this chapter, you'll be able to convert refunds and complaints from a substantial source of financial loss to a lucrative new profit center. So let's get right to it. How to turn complaints and refunds into money generators. As I said earlier, every business gets its share of complaints and requests for refunds. What distinguishes the most profitable businesses from their less profitable counterparts? Astute business owners view complaints and refunds as an opportunity to strengthen their company and lock in more profit. Owners of businesses that are less profitable view these same complaints and refunds as an annoying necessity of being in business. If you really boil it down to its essence, maximum profit business owners attack complaints and refunds aggressively, while average profit business owners accept them passively. So I'm going to show you how to attack this problem aggressively. Once you start viewing complaints and refunds as another opportunity to demonstrate the benefits of doing business with your company, you are on your way to increased profits. This technique I'm going to show you has 4 essential components. These components can be used in person, over the phone, or in a letter. Common sense and a bit of trial and error will help you decide which way or ways of applying this technique work best for your business. For the sake of clarity, I'm going to demonstrate this technique in a letter format for this chapter. A letter format makes it easier for me to tie all 4 components into a complete example for you. The 4 components of these techniques are: 1, sincerely apologize to your customer and thank them for bringing the problem to your attention. 2, correct the problem or offer to correct the problem. 3, Bend over backwards to keep your customer satisfied. 4. Use the complaint or refund to restate your company's commitment to your customer. All right, so now we have a laundry list of our 4 critical components. Let's take a detailed look at each of these components individually. Then, I'll use them all in an actual letter that will give you a powerful working example. 1. Sincerely apologize to your customer and thank them for bringing the problem to your attention. This step is absolutely critical. You must acknowledge your error. Pretending nothing happened is certain death. I'll give you an example. Have you ever gone to a great restaurant, ordered an exquisite meal, and then sat there for 40 minutes with your waiter nowhere to be found? Then, when the food finally arrives, usually cold, it's almost always set down with no explanation as to why you were kept waiting so long. This is an incredibly irritating experience to go through, yet it happens all the time. I'll bet you can't find anyone you know who hasn't been through this. The worst part is, this problem can be avoided almost entirely. Any smart waiter or waitress will approach you as soon as they're aware of a problem and let you know what's going on. All it takes is a polite statement like, "I'm really sorry, but our kitchen is extremely backed up. Unfortunately, your order is going to take a little while longer than usual. I hope you'll bear with us." Do you know what the worst thing is you can possibly do about a complaint or refund? Burden your customer with your own problem. Not only is it just plain stupid, but your customer doesn't care and shouldn't be expected to care about your problem. Not too long ago, I had an appointment to get my hair cut. When I arrived, I was told that the woman who cuts my hair was out sick that day. I asked why nobody called to let me know. The owner of the shop told me that he thought the hairdresser would call to let me know. I told him that wasn't a very good assumption to make, since he already knew the hairdresser wasn't feeling well. He then proceeded to rattle off a litany of his own problems in running his shop. "Look, I've got 3 hairdressers out sick, and the air conditioner isn't working, and I haven't been able to get anyone to come to fix it, and I'm extremely busy trying to get a large shipment of supplies put away," he said. No apology, no letting me know he was sorry for my being inconvenienced, nothing but complaining about how hard it is to be in business. All that served to do was make me even angrier. Not only was I inconvenienced, but now I was subjected to being treated like my problem didn't even matter. That certainly didn't make me feel like ever giving him any more of my business. It's absolutely imperative that you lead the way to acknowledge your customer's inconvenience and apologize for it. Then, thank your customer for bringing the problem to your attention, if that's the case. Because by bringing the problem to your attention, the customer gives you a second chance to keep them contributing to your profit. The customer obviously doesn't have to do this. They could just as easily choose to walk away and start spreading the bad news about your business. When they choose to bring the problem to your attention, give them the thanks they are due. 2. Correct the problem or offer to correct the problem. The next step you must take is to do everything in your power to correct the problem. But I'll let you in on a secret here. Sometimes, just offering to correct the problem is enough to win your customer over. Here's why. Essentially, people want to be acknowledged, and often, just the act of acknowledging them will do the trick. Let's get back to a real-life example from before to see this component in action. Recently, I went to a restaurant for dinner with my wife and our son. We were seated immediately and given menus. We decided what we wanted and closed our menus. Nobody came to our table. We sat for 5 or 10 more minutes and still nobody came to our table. I then noticed a waitress standing at the bar chatting away with the bartender. I tried to get her attention without any success. Finally, she came over to the table next to ours and took their order, even though they had been seated after us. I continued to try to catch her attention. When she finished taking the other party's order, she turned around and headed straight for the kitchen. I said, "Excuse me," but she acted like she didn't hear me and kept walking. Now I was really mad, and I got up, telling my wife I was going to find the manager. "Okay," she said, "but please try not to make a scene." As I got about 5 steps away from our table, a different waitress came rushing out of the kitchen, headed straight for our table. "I'm really sorry," she said. "I had no idea you had been seated on my station. I'm filling in for someone else, and there was a mix-up. I really blew it. I apologize, and I'd like to make it up to you. All of your drinks are on the house this evening." My wife decided she just wanted water. My son had some juice we had brought with us, and I ordered a lemonade. "Are you sure?" our waitress asked. "We have fantastic margaritas and excellent homemade milkshake." We thought about it, thanked her, and told her we'd stick with our original order. She said, "Okay, but feel free to change your mind at any time." We didn't change our minds, but my glass of lemonade was never empty throughout the entire meal. Someone was on hand to refill it if it even came close to being half empty. After we had finished our meal, the waitress came over and informed us that dessert was also on the house. We told her we were both too full, and she replied with a smile, "I'll be happy to wrap it up to go for you." This is an example of precisely how a complaint should be handled. The fact is, all we really had on the house was a lemonade, but the treatment we received was ideal. One more note is in order here. Often, just the offer to correct the problem is all it takes to turn the situation around completely. For example, after a recent plumbing repair was done on my house, I discovered that the sink was left in a filthy state. When I called the plumbing contractor's office to complain, the person who answered the phone apologized profusely and said she'd send someone right over to clean up the mess. I told her that I appreciated her offer, but I'd already cleaned it up myself. But the point is, I felt better knowing that they were willing to correct their error on the spot. Also, it helped just to be acknowledged rather than be given the royal runaround. The bottom line is, I've continued to do business with this company because they offered to correct my problem. 3, bend over backwards to keep your customers satisfied. Part of this step has already been revealed in the discussion of the second point. But I'm going to show you how to accomplish this objective in much more detail. In order to make up for the ground you've lost with your customer, it's necessary to demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt that the problem that occurred was an exception, not the rule. You achieve this by taking whatever action is necessary to show that you actually care a great deal for your customer's welfare. The best way to do this is to give your customer something for free, or special treatment, or a fantastic deal on something they truly value. Now, if you put all 3 of these pieces together, you'll be sure to come out a winner. That's what I'm going to show you how to do now. Let's back up to my experience at the restaurant. After keeping us waiting far too long, the waitress offered us free items and gave us exceptional service. I could barely take a swallow of lemonade before my glass was refilled, and we were offered more drinks and dessert for free. The only point the restaurant missed out on was offering us a fantastic deal on something we'd find truly valuable. For example, by giving us a coupon good for free drinks the next time we came in, they could have made nearly certain that there would be a next time. And there's a strong chance we'd bring other people with us when we return.